Christians to Worship and the Study of God's Word. This is today's Modern Worship on WMIE FM 91.5.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. Today's Modern Worship, and we'll just get this out there for everybody at Merritt Assembly. We've got happy birthday. I was just telling Danny here, there's 365 days in a year, and the biggest percentage of birthdays at Merritt Assembly we've got in its history have been consolidated all down to April the 27th. And second place isn't even close. Second place has two people that share the birthday. You know, I think we're almost to double digits as far as people who've been part of Merritt Assembly of God since I've been there, and their birthday is on April the 27th. So happy birthday to everybody in Brevard County, because I'm sure that it's your birthday. If it's not, well, we're getting a head start on your next birthday. So I want to say thank you today to the folks of Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804. 321-536-5804. If you've got a concrete project that is coming up, give them a call. They will be incredible at getting your project done. They have decades of experience. They have fantastic expertise, and they have a tremendous work ethic, which is becoming more and more challenging to find in modern society. And so if that's something that you think that would work for you, give them a call. I've got a number of friends in construction trades, and some of them have said, you know, we're even having difficulty finding people who are willing to work. So if you are looking for somebody who will do the job that they commit to do the job with great effort, do it quickly, and do it on time and for the right amount of money, give the folks of Jits Concrete a call, 321-536-5804. Greg's birthday is here in a couple of weeks himself, and so tell him you heard about him on the Refresh radio program, and that would be greatly appreciated. So on yesterday's program, we finished our study on what does the life of a devoted believer look like. Today we're going to transition, and we're going to start talking about what happens when God breathes. What happens when God breathes? And so we're going to start our study today in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we are going to begin reading in verse number 14. Timothy was basically Paul's spiritual son in the faith. They had a tremendous relationship, and Timothy was of such the mindset that Paul could speak into his life in an encouraging way, and Paul could help set him on the right track to be successful as a pastor. So in verse number 14 in chapter 3 here, where Paul is preparing Timothy for what may come ahead, verse number 14 says this: "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So we're going to go back up to verse number 14. We're going to spend most of our time in verse number 16. But Paul starts off by telling Timothy, you've got to continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of. Don't abandon those things. I'm familiar with a number of cases where people have started well, but didn't finish well. I know a lot of people that did not start well, but they finished well. The goal is not just to begin the race, but the goal is to continue and to complete the journey that God has for us. So we must not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We have got to continue the life of obedience. When things happen quicker than we expect, we continue doing the things that we have learned and been assured of. When things are not going well, we continue in the things which we have learned and have been assured of. It's very, very important to continue in the journey of faith that we have begun. Now, if you were led astray from a very early, it's time to look at that and say, wait a minute, I can't continue down this road. What Paul is talking about is Timothy had begun the journey of faith by having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that extended to his mother and to his grandmother. It was a generational relationship with God. And he had been taught these things, and he had traveled with Paul. He had seen these things in practice. And he goes on and he says, not only have you learned them and been assured of them, but you know from whom you have learned them. There's a tremendous social conflict that is going on it's really a battle of educational philosophy as to what our young people are going to be taught and who's going to be their teachers and who's going to control all that and everything else. From a pastoral perspective, I can say this. Please do not expect that you can ignore your children's spiritual well-being 167 hours a week and then bring young people to church for an hour a week and expect that the church is going to somehow miraculously going to be able to counterbalance that. Take a look at the way that young people put their attention in a class. I mean, you've really got to do something to catch their attention. So now it will surprise you. They do pay attention. They just not be maybe 100% focused. So they need teachers who have credibility. The credibility of the messenger whose life lines up with the message gives credibility to the message so that Timothy would be encouraged to continue in the things that he had learned. Okay, and I will tell you this, everybody should still be learning. I was in my devotions here several weeks ago, and I was reading, and I was familiar with one passage, and I was having this conversation with one of my board members here not too long ago. Bite off a sneeze here just a moment. But I said, this is the verse that I was familiar with, and as I was going through my devotions, I saw this verse, and it's like, well, where in the world has that message been all my life? And so it's in Proverbs chapter 10, if you want to turn over there. I'm not going to get too distracted off of our path. But there's a passage, not this passage, but another passage, where it said that God sent leanness into their soul. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 3, it says Well, let me read verse number two. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. This sets up verse number three. The Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish, but he casts away the desire of the wicked. And I was like, the Lord will not allow, it will not be permitted. It is something he is going to make sure does not take place. The person who is in right standing with him, his soul, his mind, his will, his emotions, his very being, God will not permit you to be in a spiritual starvation mode. And so we need the imputed and imparted righteousness of God in our lives, and we need to appreciate the right standing that we have with God, because that's where our sustenance comes from. And so if you are feeling a strain in your spiritual relationship right now, continue your obedience anyway and get into the presence of God and allow him to satiate you, to cause your very essence to be flooded with his life-sustaining presence. That's a good spot for an amen. Knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. Now we begin to set the stage for 2 Timothy 3:16 here in just a moment. And that was that Timothy had been studying the Word of God, the Holy Word of God, since he was a child. And so I will tell you this, wherever you are at chronologically, if you have never started studying the Word of God, start studying it. It will make a difference in your day-to-day, but it will pay even greater dividends in the days to come. So I highly encourage you to study the Holy Scriptures. People who don't want to put their faith in Jesus will try and make an argument. Well, what makes Christianity and the Bible, what makes it superior to the other holy documents that may be out there? Well, I'll just drop down to verse number 16. All Scripture, meaning the Word of God, is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. It is who that Scripture comes from, whose nature it reflects, whose nature it reveals, and how it can manifest in your life. And you and I studying it is not supposed to be laborious. It's not supposed to be punitive. It's supposed to be of such a nature that when we expose ourselves to the Word of God, that we learn what living for God is all about. So several weeks ago, let's see, I believe it was in March. I believe it was about this time in March. I think it was about a month ago. Some friends of ours took us to see Chris Tomlin, and we were down there, and he talked about how some of the things that had transpired in his life started when he was a teenager, and he shared some stories and things like that, and how the things that took place younger in his life have rippled and have crescendoed. They've built up momentum to where some of the things that he experiences now, all of those go back to learning how to play an instrument when he was a kid, when nobody else in the church knew how to play an instrument. He said he basically knew three songs, and those three songs led to other other breakthroughs in his life. One of the stories that he shared was how he encountered a person who had become a born-again believer and a pastor of a community where being a Christian was not permitted, and he was actually under a death sentence. There were family members that were going to separate him from life. And he made this statement. He said, if he's what a true believer looks like, what am I? Because he heard the testimony of this man, and he shared the stories, and he's like, I got tears running down my face when this guy talks about the intervention of God and the commitment to God. And then he tied that in with, he said, I've got one song that I play every morning, and it was God of Angel Armies. It's always by my side. And the guy who was standing there with Chris Tomlin said, well, he's the one that wrote that. And he said, would you like to hear it in my language? And he said, that's what gives me the inspiration to continue to go from day to day, even in the face of life-threatening adversity. He said, the Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation. So why do you think the devil wants to fight against the study of God's word to such a great extent? It's because he doesn't want you to be wise unto salvation. He wants you living in foolishness. He wants you being completely unaware of the salvation that is available to you through the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, who's at the right hand of the Father interceding for you right now. You see, the person who does not know the truth, who's not abiding in Christ, who does not know the truth will not set them free because they do not know the truth that is there. So one of the reasons when we are going through these studies here on the radio that I share so much context is because there are a lot of people in churches who do not know the Bible. It doesn't matter if you own one, if you do not use it. And so many times people are claiming a relationship with Jesus, but they never feast on God's word. They never study God's word. And they are living as if they do not have a Bible. And I will tell you, the Bible is not meant to be punitive in your life. It is supposed to bring you wisdom to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You see, I don't have a lot of faith in Bob. My faith is in the Jesus who lives inside of me. My faith is in the word which he has spoken. My faith is a gift from him that I place in him. So it is not faith in my faith. It is faith in the God who gave me my faith. That's where that is. And it is a salvation that brings us wholeness spiritually, physically, intellectually, financially, relationally. It is wholeness and soundness in every area of our life. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's what the Bible says. So what has the strategy of the enemy been? The strategy has been to cut people off from access to the Word of God, or if they have access to it, cut them off from utilizing that access. And then they have such a bad taste of authority that is going on in modern society that they extrapolate that into how they look at God And then they say, well, God is part of the problem, when in actuality, God is the solution. God's not the problem. So we look at this and we see that the scriptures are God's gift to us. So that brings us to verse number 16. The scriptures that are meant to make us wise unto salvation, that we have feasted on from whatever period of time we started. We have known the people who spoke the message, lived the message. And now Paul writes to Timothy and he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That word, inspiration, it means God. It means either inspiration of God, it means God breathed, or inspired by God, produced by the Spirit of God. These are words that are literally expelled from the lungs of God. So there's a huge duration of time from the first writing down of the scriptures to the book of Revelation, like 1600 years. There's a bunch of different writers, and God used their personalities. God used their hurts, their victories, their culture. He used their giftings and their availabilities. And he brought all of those things together and he said, I'm going to breathe these words into you. You put them on paper, on a scroll, because I want people to have access to this message for as long as there are human beings. It's God breathed. And the amazing thing about it is, even though it is a book from antiquity, it's a settled word forever in heaven and on earth. And yet you and I can read it multiple times and come across a passage where the breath of God breathes on it and it comes alive inside of us and says, oh, that is so refreshing. Just like I was talking about with Proverbs 10, where's that been? You know, it's like it just came out of the oven like a freshly baked loaf of bread. And I don't know if you've ever driven by a bakery or not, but when they're baking the bread, it smells wonderful. And that word that is God breathed, it is a gift to us. Now, I will tell you, my preaching, though I believe it's anointed many times, and I want it to be a fresh word from God, it doesn't rise to the same level of authority as the proven word of God. This has stood the test of time. So if anybody tries to elevate another passage to the same level of inspiration as the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, if anybody tries to add anything to it, don't partake of that. Don't partake of that. Say, no, if there's a disagreement, because here's what happens. If there's a disagreement between the word of God and any other document that somebody might have out there, you're going to have to decide, which one do I trust more? And many times people give higher credibility to additional resources than they do the word of God. So people say, well, how can I know that I can trust the word of God? I mean, after all, there's books that were written that didn't get included. There's all sorts of arguments that are out there. And I will tell you this, the reality is that the Word of God has been held up to the highest levels of scrutiny. They created new standards when examining the Word of God, because they weren't looking for a reason to believe it and accept it. They were looking for reasons to reject it. And so when the Word of God stood up to every test, they had to create new tests because they don't want to believe. And so I like stories like Josh McDowell, who was setting out to disprove the Bible and ended up becoming a believer and wrote, Evidence That Demands a Verdict and More Evidence That Demands a Verdict. And he became a great defender of scriptural authority. Lee Strobel was another one. He was a journalist and was not a believer, and he was looking to disprove it. And there's been numerous people who've gone down that same journey who thought that they were smarter than God and thought that they were going to be able to disprove the Word of God, and yet the Bible still stands. I believe there was one person that said 100 years from now, when he was alive, 100 years from now, the Word of God will not even exist. And 100 years later, they were using that same house to print the Word of God. The Word of God stands the test of time. And when you realize that it has been breathed by God, you know, this study, you know, could be summed up, what happens when God breathes? Well, when he breathes the Word of God, get ready, because your life is getting ready to be dramatically, dramatically improved. We'll take a look at that on tomorrow's broadcast. So once again out there, in case you haven't, paid attention, you know, don't forget to say thank you to your office administrator and office manager, whatever it might be. Make sure that you tell the people around you how much you appreciate them. The Bible says that we're supposed to give honor to whom honor is due, and start being the giver of that, and you will soon find yourself not only the distributor of honor, but you will find yourself the recipient of it as well. So thank God for his Word today. Thank you for listening, and I pray that you will have a victorious day as you continue in the things you've learned from the Word of God, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Have a glorious day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Great. your heart is great.